Live from Burbank, California, spelled backwards, is Anral Philak Canabrub. It's the Mark Maron Show. And now, spelled backwards, here's Noam Cram.
It's Cram Naram, man. Cram Naram. Six past the hour. Good evening, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor, lurking conservatives. How is everybody? Cat lovers, people who have made the mistake of calling their wife bitch as a joke. How are you guys? I'm paying for that still. You are listening to Progressive Talk AM 1150. You can go to markmaron.com, markmaron.com. You can call the show at 877-520-1150. Folks, we've got a good show. We're going to unburden your souls tonight. We're going to take a trip to the liberal confessional, and then you can call in and confess your liberal sins. We get to listen what Spanish Mark sounds like. We didn't do that yesterday. We're going to play some of the Spanish translation of my commentary on the Left of the Dial DVD. That should be funny. I've not heard it yet. This is a little surprise for me. We've got the Dick of the Day coming up. We've got the Short Order News now. A lot happened in the world today, and we want to make sure you're caught up on current events before you go to bed. So here's tonight's edition of Mark Maron's Short Order News. A leaked memo shows that British Prime Minister Tony Blair was warned in 2003 that the U.S. handling of Iraq was a disaster. According to the London Times, the Prime Minister had wanted to personally notify President Bush of the leak, but to do that, Tony would have had to pull up his pants and turn around. The Pentagon is asking Congress for hundreds of billions of dollars to test weapons in space. The military says that the aerospace technology is worth the investment because it will have civilian applications, including but not limited to killing civilians. Da Vinci Code author Dan Brown took the witness stand today to defend himself against charges that he stole the idea for his religious thriller from the book Holy Blood, Holy Grail. Brown admits using other source material, including such great works of fiction as the Bible and the 9/11 Commission Report. That's Mark Maron's Short Order News for tonight. And I'm crumpling up the paper. Jim, are you okay?
I'm all right. We're gonna have Mexican Mark coming up?
You've got Mexican. Marcos Maron.
Should be very spicy.
Oh, yes, sir. So now, folks, before he doesn't have a lot of time to hang out, and I know there's already people blogging about, they've already got questions for Dave. You might know him from his travelogue show Insomniac on Comedy Central, which he calls a cross between Girls Gone Wild and Cops. He's one of Entertainment Weekly's 25 funniest people in America. Oh, congratulations. Direct from the Fat Burger, it's Dave Vitale.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How come his mic's not on? I can't hear him in my head. What's going on with that? Hello? Where's my friend Dave?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, are you there? Can you hear him? Are you there?
Thank God,
Dave Vitale.
Wow. Professional. What's up, buddy? I haven't seen you in a while.
It has been a while. It's always nice to see you. I was trying to talk to Brendan today about our relationship. I think I've known you for 20 years, mm-hmm. and I think we talked for 10 minutes once. I don't know.
Only you would feel slighted. No, we talked for 10 minutes. You talked about yourself for years. Why don't I got this? What's wrong with me doing that? How come I'm not on this? But, no.
What are you doing?
What am I doing?
What are you in town doing that I'm not?
I'm heading to Denver to
Comedy Works,
which you know is a good club.
I've heard it's a great club how'd you get that?
By the way, for those of you listening at home, Mark is probably one of the top 25 most bitter comics
America. That's the old Mark.
This is the new and improved?
Yeah, I mean, since this afternoon, everything's different.
Well, I'll just say one thing about this thing, because I think you're great.
Oh, thank you very much. You are one of my best comics.
But if you work at a place and they won't pick up the parking, I don't know. I ask the assistant, I go, can I get the ballot? He goes, can't you just wait out the guy?
No, that's right, because when we leave, they're already gone. So, Dave, I think we've talked more than 10 minutes, but you're right, I am a little draining. I can appreciate that.
You're what we call a special needs.
Yeah, special needs comic. There's Maron. Buzzkill.
But you do have some of the...
What?
I'm trying to think of some of your classic lines. I'm sure you've already turned them into sketches
this is what's funny about you is every time you've got some joke that has anything to do with topics that might be remotely political, you're always like, you came up to me, it's like, are you doing anything on like peeing on the Bible? Anything? I'm like, no, I'm not doing this.
It's true, yeah. It's like I always have like the go-to guys, you for political, Jim Norton for filth.
Yeah.
You know?
have you found that... I remember there was that one joke that the headphones joke years ago. The one where the guy who came up to me on the street wanted to buy this Walkman.
I love that joke. But did you tell that one already?
No, I haven't done that. I haven't done that in years. And but it's neither here nor there. You've written 10,000 jokes. You're like the one of the few guys I know that actually thinks in jokes. You write more than anybody I've ever seen in my life.
I'm a kind of a Wikipedia. Of retreaded jokes, but we were trying to. I don't know, you people at home, and help me out because you seem to be the last holdout for the MySpace religion. Why don't you join?
Tom is
your internet Jesus. Do it.
I almost did it today because I thought someone might have joined for me, and I went to look for one. So I did a search on my name, and I got some girl, and that was already trouble because I'm looking at the girl's interest. Right? Are you on it?
Yeah, I'm on it, and you know what? I was telling actually Fitzsimmons or somebody, Greg Fitzsimmons.
Yeah, he's
like,
here.
If I checked in on my mom as much as I do on this MySpace, I would be like three times a day. You gotta go like, hey, I got a comment. I gotta check that out.
Do you like in general? Do you respond to people?
Yeah, I you know, it's really being 41 years old. Mm-hmm. There is kind of a thing of like, what is this gizmo?
Yeah,
you know what? People over the tele, over the phone lines. But I could see these, you know, the comedy club audience, as we all know, is like internet savvy.
Yeah,
and they need to know
everything
that
about
way.
You.
Like you could have a guy, a naked midget outside banging a drum with and they'd be like, ah. But you know, animate it, put it on the web. People are like, oh, I got to check that out. There's a genius around.
But
the new Lazy Sunday.
When people, I imagine comics ask you for advice because I don't respond to everybody. But
I would love to get the advice from you.
Oh my God,
that would be like a what would it be like a litany, almost a manifesto.
Generally what I say, like if some guy's like, hey. What do you recommend for me to be a successful comedian and make a living at it? And I usually write, you should stop. If that's what, if that's
the
really
dream
what,
killer, Mark Maron.
Dream killer. No, I provide him with some advice, but it's so much different now than when we started. It seems like guys can do it 10 minutes and they're already making millions of dollars. That's not coming from bitterness. It's reality.
Yeah, there's some of that. I think a lot of people want to get into comedy because they see all the cable. But when we both started before cable.
Back in the old days.
Yeah.
Back when every club you went to, they're like, I don't know, last week was packed.
Exactly.
What the hell happened?
We're waiting for Rodney Dangerfield to give us the tap.
Yeah.
It's totally different. And they're like, they don't even ask me how to be a comic anymore. They ask me, how do I get my own show?
Yeah, right, exactly.
I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
This guy, he's smart. He doesn't want to do any legwork.
Do you ever get those ones where it's like, Dave, I've been up for 3 days drinking, watching Insomniac DVDs.
Yeah.
Help me.
It's more of like, hey, remember you were in my town and you did this and something and you said that. I'm like, oh, God. Like, as you know from the alcohol, when you used to drink, alcohol is the best for the forgetting, the forgetful juice, you know.
The built-in forgetter.
Yeah, so how do you like it out here, man?
It's all right. You know, I've grown accustomed to it. I like being at the house. I like living. You know, it's weird because I did have a lot of demons, and I was looking at my day today, and it's pathetic. I still can't seem to get any balance. I envy, you know, you out there in the world.
Alcoholics.
Yeah, alcoholics, active alcoholics. But like today, I get up, I eat oatmeal, I go to the gym, I watch my hummingbirds at my hummingbird feeder, and then I went and had a macrobiotic lunch, and then I get home and I ate this salami that I got in a gift pack. I smoked cigars, I looked at some porn. I'm still living in two worlds, you know what
so
I mean?
So during the day you're judging Amy at night.
Exactly, yeah. I'm a cave dweller. So when you go out, we were watching the video. I haven't seen you in a while, but I always love watching you. And do you have something on your website where some guy wings something at you at the cellar?
You know that. I would rather not say where it was. But
oh, I'm sorry. It's a good club.
Right now, eight people.
Yeah, eight people. Like, I've been there. I've been to the cellar.
Yeah, well, it shows you that. I put it up there to show people that comedy is not pretty. And no, actually, unless you have some wacky videos, no one really cares about
your website. I got to update
mine. But yeah, that
mine
really happened. It was a drunken scene, and no one got hurt, luckily. But a guy was whipping a couple bottles at me, and I stood my ground.
You did?
Until the security came.
You can't,
took forever, too.
You can't leave. I got into a fight once on stage. If you leave, it's horrendous because you just look like a pussy running off the stage. Some guy tackled me at Largo, and I'm not a guy that fights people, really, but I had to sit up there. I didn't know what was going to happen, but I knew I couldn't leave.
But at Largo, he tackled you into an improv class? I mean, what can you do at Largo?
I know. Out of all the places, the alternative comedy place, I get whacked. It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. I was doing it. You don't know that story?
I miss you, Mark.
I miss you.
I really do.
I did.
You're the only guy that something like that would happen to.
It never happened before. And I do a joke. I'm talking about it's got suicide in it.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, which is funny. Yeah. I mean, if it's framed properly. And the guy just says they don't make jokes about suicide. Of course, I'm like, why? Did you just lose somebody? So I got this attitude. He's like, just don't do it or I'm going to take you out, bitch.
Wow.
So then I got into his face, and I was like, what makes you demand this much attention when people don't know you? Blah, 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 blah. And then the next thing I know, I said, I remember, I stood him off. I'm on stage all cocky, and I'm like, still going to take me out, bitch? And he did. He just came out of the audience and slammed me on the ground. And Vincent D'Onofrio, the actor, was there, which made it weird because I was kind of freaked out. I didn't know if I was in a movie for a second. And my shirt was
on. You wanted to be... You want to look good as you're getting your butt kicked.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Just in case he wants to cast you or something.
But here's the classic Marin ending is like he comes whipping around. The whole club empties out. Thank God I was closing because it would have been hard to follow that. And the guy comes whipping around in his car, and he gets out of his car, and everyone's like, hey, stay away from him. And then we make up. He literally walks in. Sorry, my brother almost killed himself.
I get a lot of those, too.
What's the worst thing that ever happened to you?
Well,
really,
the
outside
thing.
The bottles.
Oh, no, I've had like a series of like bad incidents, but... this week where was I? Irvine.
Yeah.
You know, like people out there listening going like, wow, this is crazy. This is extreme. You know, I'm going to have to learn the Kabbalah and the, whatever to learn. You also get like some of the greatest moments in your life, like dreams come true in comedy. Like I was on stage and I said something about there's like a lot of hot women in Irvine. I don't know what it is.
Yeah,
that's where they grow them. They're beauties. They grow them to go out with the executives and actors that are here.
Yeah.
So anyway, this one girl, I said something about, you know, they're all beautiful breasts and everything.
Yeah, sure.
And you know, sometimes when a man is in love with a girl, he'll put his member between those breasts.
Yeah.
I don't know what they call that on radio.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Anyway, so it's said something offhandedly, not even to her, and she's like, oh, yeah, well, prove it. And she storms on stage.
Yeah.
Like, she wants me to do it to her right there in front of everybody, like we're in Juarez, Mexico. Yeah. And you're like, what other job does that happen to? And you know what? They kicked her out. And I'm like, why would you kick her out of all the other people talking and yelling?
Leave her here.
Yeah.
You're in Juarez.
She's on the good team.
And Dave's the donkey. Here comes the show. What was it, Jim? What was the weirdest thing you ever had happen to you on stage?
Up around Stockton, some guy broke a beer bottle and then slit his friend's throat.
Wow.
The front
we have
table.
A winner.
And, you know,
come on.
So my partner, comedy partner Barry, says, call the cops, will you? And then we do our next bit, and the guy who, you know, slit the guy's throat is sitting at the table.
Oh,
let me go through our bit.
What kind of prison yard are you playing there?
It was probably a Doug Tribble gig or something.
Did you ever do a prison?
No, I've never done a prison gig. I was just in Afghanistan, so I was doing shows.
How was that?
Oh, it was cool. I mean, you know.
They must have been thrilled to see it. Why don't we talk about it in a minute? Stay here. We got Dave Attell in the room here. We've got a lot of things coming up. We're going to hear about Afghanistan. Let's talk some filth, too. Let's talk about porn a little bit.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of people out there in my audience that they'll just, on the blog, they'll be like, oh, porn again? I'm going to bed. How about some politics? 20 past. You're listening to AM 1150, LA's Progressive Talks, the Mark Maron Show.
And now back to a man who engulfs his food with a gigantic fleshy projection, Mark Maron.
Thank you, Jim. That was lovely. We're talking to comedian Dave Attell. We're talking about a number of things. You don't talk about politics in your act, really, do you?
Not really.
Do you do anything like that?
I vote. Isn't that a good
thing
to
enough?
Do sometimes, everybody?
Do you think there's any room for politics in comedy, really? It's weird because when I started doing this show, though, I mean, I may have been a social issue guy, but I didn't know as much as I know now.
Right.
I always thought that I was speaking some sort of truth, man.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when you pick sides with stuff, it's you really separate the audience. Sometimes when I go on stage, I won't if it's not a big bunch of Mark Maron people, which there isn't really, you know, generally speaking, I won't let him say or America because people will prejudge me. You know, they'll be like, oh, he's one of those guys.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so.
I consider myself more of a morals guy now.
Like, yeah?
Like, politically, I, you know, I didn't vote for Bush.
Yeah.
I support, you know, I went to Afghanistan and the troops.
Yeah.
And I kind of like, I like a rough and tumble, as you know. I mean,
yeah.
I think this country's becoming, you know, just one big baby-seated, helmeted, you know. Like, I saw a kid on it. I was driving with our manager, actually, to a thing I didn't get.
Yeah.
But we have the same manager, everybody.
It's very nice that he's even, you know, that he's driving you places.
I know, exactly. exactly, right? Oh, man.
So he went with you.
Yeah, so there was a little kid on the sidewalk somewhere in L.A., and he had a helmet on, a bike with what is it, training wheels, and, you know, he had a bug on his hand. He's like, Daddy, I've got a bug on my hand. Help me. And I'm like, no wonder we're having so much trouble, you know, because in some places that's a meal, you know. It goes in Afghanistan.
Now, look, I know that you travel in the dark circles, but even when I was at my at the height of my drinking and nastiness,
yes.
I could never figure out a way to talk to strippers.
Well, yeah, well, you don't have the good I don't think, you know, the best stripper rap is, hey, I've got an eight ball. But unless you're in Maroon 5 or you can say the other thing I just said, it's hard.
Yeah.
But, you know, you always did okay. But when you say political, I mean, like, you also agree with me. This country's too churchy.
Yeah. Oh,
that they're in
what,
everybody's
are you kidding
business.
Me? What are you kidding?
And it filters down to the clubs. And the fact that, like, you know, all these issues are being decided by, like, town councils and, you
it's
know.
The worst.
It's crazy, like, the whole abortion thing
yep.
in Wyoming. I mean, you know.
They're coming up through the school boards. They're trying to indoctrinate the kids. They're trying to stop everybody else from having a good time. Like, we can't make our own choices.
Yeah, like, at that show I did, a woman got really drunk and threw up.
Mm-hmm.
And as
did
a
she
Christian,
blame Jesus?
I made her raise that. It came out of her body. She must raise that now.
Have you had run-ins with religious people?
The beauty of it was over in the Middle East, every guy there was cool.
Yeah.
I met a lot of guys who I'd met doing my Insomniac stuff were just on the road drinking. And that's weird because, you know, sometimes it goes bad. And when a guy's holding an M60 machine gun, go, hey, remember me? You were talking to my chick in Del Toto.
Like, how do you feel about that now?
Yeah. So, I'd say that those guys are pretty cool. They know what's going on. It seems to be that the people in this country, for some reason, they just want to, you know, it's just such a bore. It's such a waste of time.
And it makes people frightened. It makes people second-guess themselves.
Right.
And it actually makes people who are prone to being devils even more devilish just to show them. It's great.
Right. I don't know why they it seems like not the nerds haven't inherited the earth. It's like the people who weren't even cool enough to be nerds, you know, the ones who sat at home just, you know, ironing their trousers.
They have no point of view at all.
Yeah.
Hey, someone just wants to say hi. Why don't we do it? Hey, Frank and Valley, what's up?
What's up, guys? What's going on, Mark? It's a trip hearing you in L.A., man. I got to tell you that.
Yeah.
And, Dave, I got to tell you, man, I am a huge fan of Insomniac. And I got a question for you, being connected to Comedy Central and stuff like that. Hey, man, you have any idea when Dave Chappelle's coming back?
All right. Thanks, man.
That's a secret that can only be...
you have to be brought into the special room at Comedy Central.
There's a Da Vinci Code. You have to watch Hotwood Summer backwards.
All right. So you've got to... tell me what April 4th, you've got a special on Comedy Central. It's an Insomniac special.
Yeah, we did this two-hour special in Vegas, and it was Greg Giraldo, who you know from New York.
Of
Sean
course.
Rouse, I'm sure you ran into on the comedy scene.
Yep. Yeah, he's a very funny guy. Yeah, I saw
Cook.
Him the other night. And Dame Cook.
Dane Cook, we got him.
Not Dame Cook, the one who dresses up in drag and makes noises?
We couldn't afford her. But and Dane Cook, so that'll be out April 4th.
Okay.
And it was cool, and I got to host because I'm kind of the old man now.
Oh,
I'm
know.
Like an old man, you know?
So, yeah. Well, at least you're an old man that everybody knows.
Oh,
so,
poor Mark.
No. I mean, people know me. I got a whole new bunch of audience. I just mean I'm the old man, too, and people know me, too, but a lot of comics know you. You know,
okay.
They know me. Yeah, I wasn't feeling sorry for myself.
I have a feeling you would be the only guy who they wouldn't behead out of mercy. A mercy.
leave him alive. That'll torture him more.
This guy's not even begging. Yeah. He's just...
So you're going to be in Denver this weekend. If you're listening in Denver, go see Dave. Thanks for coming. You're going to the Laugh Factory now?
Yeah.
Right now? All right. So it is 29 past the hour. Thanks for coming, Dave.
Great seeing you, man.
I'll see you. Yep.
Now back from tending his ostrich farm at Stately Marin Manor, Mark Maron.
Ostriches. No. 35 past the hour. I got no ostriches. Ostriches, Jim. This guy's so great to see you, Tal, man. I've known him for like 20 years. We started out together. It's so wild to see your friends and yourself getting old. Sometimes you don't realize how old you're getting until you see your friend and you're like, oh, my God. Because, you know, you can't judge if you're looking at yourself. I look at myself. I see my hair getting gray in the temples, and I see certain things happening in my face.
Yeah.
But I don't think I look much different than I used to.
No, you're ageless.
Now, thank you, and timeless. I'm a timeless voice.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Hey, come on, man.
No,
hey, look.
I remember you back like 10 years ago. You don't look much different.
Yeah, well, thank God I stopped putting the butch wax in my hair. That was ridiculous. Enough of that. you know, at age 42, you don't do that anymore. I just hit that. It's like when you wear a baseball cap backwards. At some point, it's like, turn it around. You're 40. You know, I don't do that, but the hair products were getting too much. Look, we got a lot of stuff coming up. You're going to hear the Spanish Mark. We got the Dick of the Day coming up. We got my short order news. Can you hear that?
Crap.
Jim, did you hear that? What is that noise? Can we get that fixed? It sounds like there's a guy.
Yeah.
Is there an open line or something?
Hey, Mark. I'm sorry. I hate to interrupt your show like this, but I figure, you know, you're here, I'm here. I guess I might as well, right?
Wait. Who is this?
I'm John. I'm the NSA guy who was assigned to you.
What NSA guy who was assigned to me?
Look, I know this is going to sound weird, but, man... Could you tell me what you were doing this morning from, like, between 6 and 8:30?
You gotta be kidding me. Are you serious?
I overslept, and I didn't think you were going to be up so early, but you did get up that early, and now I got, like, a 2.5-hour hole in my surveillance log. Can you just do me a solid and help me fill it in? I'm assuming there was breakfast involved, but beyond that, you make any phone calls, any internet searches?
I can't believe this. You're spying on me without my consent. Now you want me to tell you what calls I'm making and what websites I'm going to? This is crazy.
Oh, come on, man. If you don't, I'll just make something up.
I can't believe this.
Look.
What?
You've got a job to do, right?
Yeah.
You do your job or you get fired. That's
okay.
How it works.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's the same thing on this end, man. All I'm asking for is a little help, okay?
Yeah.
Help me out and we'll keep this thing nice and honest, all right? Like, come on, bro. Let's do this.
All right. Okay, so this morning I got up. I made some breakfast. I went to the post office. I went to the bank. Made a deposit, came back home, and went into my office and watched Alberto Gonzalez.
Did you change your channel at all? You watch anything else on TV?
I was on the internet a little bit.
What site you go to?
I don't think that's any of your business.
No, just come on, man. Just help me out here.
I went to my website, and then I did a little research. We're looking to buy a couch.
Okay. All right? Your own website?
Yeah, well, you know, I because I'm trying to update. What the hell did I do?
All right, okay, I got it. All right, that's fine. Look, I owe you one, man, and it's very unlikely that this will ever happen again.
Okay.
Unless, well, actually, never mind. We can fix this right now. What are you going to be doing tomorrow at 4:00?
Oh, come on, man.
I'll be at the dentist then, and it'll just be easier if you can give me a little heads up. It'll make things work well.
Oh, look, you know, I'm done with this. This is ridiculous.
Okay, chill. It's just going to be a pain in the ass to have to run all those wires through the dentist's office.
All right, that's it. Goodbye.
Okay,
all right?
Okay, yeah, all right. Mark,
yeah.
Look, really, though, you need to do something about those Dobermans next door.
No kidding, I need to do something about those damn Dobermans next door. I wish that guy would have helped me out with that, my NSA buddy. That I don't know what the hell to do about that. You know, because you don't want to be the ass. You don't want to be the neighbor that makes issue with your neighbor over dogs. Because this guy's got, I don't know what he's got over there. He's a decent enough guy. But I'm telling you something. This Bulgarian guy, and it's got nothing to do with him being from Bulgaria.
Mm.
But he used to be a contractor. He helped me out. He put the floor in my office in the garage. He helped me out. He put some slate down in the patio area that my wife wanted. It didn't cost nothing, but he used to be a contractor. He didn't have these three Dobermans, and he was married. And now all of a sudden he's got three Dobermans that are up on a deck that overlooks my deck. He's got about three or four different automobile projects going.
That's the price you pay for his help, I guess, maybe. You know?
No, I don't know where you draw the line with that stuff because these dogs are a nuisance and I don't want to be a rat. I've talked to the guy about it. He put on some special muzzles. He put on these collars that spray the dog. That is the stupidest looking thing I've ever seen in my life. Have you seen those collars where they literally, when the dog barks, it hits them in the face with water? And eventually they adapt to it, and then they look stupid. They're like, and they get a spray in the face, and they just keep barking. It's ridiculous. So now what I do is if I go out on my deck and they're barking, I get my hose, and I start spraying the dogs. And it's... I don't know what the hell to do. The animal control guy came by, and I didn't tell him to come by, but he gave me his card. I'm not gonna rat him out. I'm gonna talk to him about it again. There's nothing you can do. That's part of it. And I've got the four cats. I'm afraid that one of them is gonna end up in the mouth of one of those dogs. I'm petrified. Monkey got out today. I didn't know where the hell he was. I got a possum now that I want to feed, but my wife won't let me feed. I just want to feed this possum so I can see what the hell it looks like.
Possums eat cats.
Do they do? No, they don't. They're scared of cats. It's wrong. Someone told us that if you've got a possum problem, all you got to do is unleash a cat in there, and they'll freak out. They're petrified of cats.
Why do you want to see it, though, Mark? They're the ugliest things.
How often do you get to examine something that is that weird looking? Like, literally, I saw it the other night. It was eating a banana peel out of the garbage. And a banana peel, if that's what he eats, I can feed him all the time. And they only come out at night. And it was just so creepy because I'm going out to the garage where I have my office, and I see that tail just sticking out from behind where this bag of garbage is. And it looks like a rat's tail, only worse, only bigger, like a giant mutant rat. And I'm like, oh, it's a possum, and I've been dying to see one. And I call my wife over, and then he just comes out, and he just looks at us, and it's like seeing something you've never seen before. It's like seeing a three-toed sloth or something. I was so excited to see
those.
Aren't they wild to look at, where you're just sitting there going, oh, my God, what the hell is that?
Yeah, but more of that is the movement. You know, they look like they're
going. Well, possums move very weird, too. So do skunks. All those nocturnal beasts move very strangely. They lumber. They don't run. They lumber. You grew up with it, too, Jim. You've got all those weird animals.
I lumber myself.
Yeah, I know you do.
I'm sorry. It's Bulgarians that eat cats, not possums.
Yes, Bulgarians eat cats. I don't even know why it's an issue that I call him a Bulgarian, because I think that just adds character. He's a nice guy. He's a rugged little guy. He's into selling motorcycles internationally and fixing cars. It's just that it's not your classic.
Where is Bulgaria? Is that near Serbia, like where Milosevic came from?
Come on, who's a genius? Come on, you got an internet in front
of
you?
They broke all those countries up, man. I'm confused by the
I don't
new
think
countries.
Bulgaria's broken up. Now I feel stupid. In Trivial Pursuit, geography was not my bag. Hey, I want to thank somebody out there tonight. I want to thank, I think it says, Jenny B. from Tennessee made us a sign in honor of our Dick of the Day, our new Dick of the Day segment. It's a beautiful sign that's done with beads, and it's hand-painted. It's got sort of a rural feel to it, and it just says, no dickheads. So that is hanging up. I hope that Stephanie leaves it up in the morning. I don't know if she will, but I think we're sharing this studio, so I hope it stays up. Now, again, folks, what do I want to talk about? What is the issue at hand? I think this is right up your alley, Jim.
What?
Outside of Feingold, I'd like to talk about Feingold. I want to talk about Iraq a little bit. I'm a little disappointed with Isaac Hayes for being a wuss and quitting South Park. I'll talk about that later. But here's an issue that I think will warm your heart there, Jim. As you know, I have my own struggles with trying to be healthy, with trying to do the right thing environmentally and with my own body. I was a vegetarian for about 7 or 8 months, but I did eat fish, granted, but I was off the meat. And it wasn't out of principle in terms of killing animals. It was really out of fear of mad cow disease, all right? So now the other day, we get our third case of mad cow in a cow reported here in this country, down in Alabama. This is the third case since, I think, 2001 or 2004, whenever, in the last 5 years, third case documented. Okay? This is a cow that they claim is from Canada. What the hell is with this mad cow in Canada? How come two of the three cases of mad cow that we have in the Americas here, in the United States of America, they're like, no, it's an old cow from Canada. Why are they pulling old cows from Canada in? It just sounds suspicious to me. And we've gone into this before with the USDA, with the meat industry owning the U.S. Department of Agriculture and owning all the outlets that test this meat.
And the milk industry.
Yeah, all. They're very powerful lobbies. And I just saw that movie, Thank You for Smoking. And I understand how this works, and I understood it before. It's my belief that there's plenty of mad cow here. It's my belief that there's plenty of people with mad cow. And what's mind-blowing to me is they moved this off the front page of the papers within a day because they took some sort of poll, God knows where, that said Americans weren't that concerned with it. That's because Americans are morons. A lot of them are just morons, and they just feel like I'm the same way, though. I'm lumping myself into it. I'm like, mad cow, how long does that take to get you? And they're like, so the odds of getting it are rare. They're probably isn't that much of it. And if you do get it, it could take 20 years and you wouldn't know the difference between that and Alzheimer's. Now, what the hell? Give me a hamburger. They don't care. It's true. And the other thing that frightens me about it is this whole Canada thing is a scam. You know what it reeks of? The first thing it reminded me of? Do you remember back in the 80s when AIDS first became popular? Do you remember that?
Do I?
Yeah. Well, what they did right away was they said, we're pretty sure that global AIDS can all be traced back to a flight attendant in France. What the hell was that? That was ridiculous propaganda. It's like, oh, that guy. That guy in France, he's the one that, screwed everybody on the planet? I mean, it's ridiculous. It just gave people closure. It's the same with this Canadian cow crap. It's crap. The USDA has been turned out by the beef industry. It's been turned out by the milk industry, by the dairy industry. It's been turned out in a lot of ways by a lot of agribusiness. And now they're testing. They test like one out of every million cows. It's ridiculous. So now I got to go back off the meat. And I don't have very, I have very few guilty pleasures. But here's the other thing. Not only is it with meat with me, but when I slip hard. As long as I stay off booze and drugs, everybody is safe, and I won't ruin everything. Though I am pretty good at self-sabotage without booze and drugs. I got a big mouth. And for some reason, my big mouth has a profound effect on people who think they have power over things, and I can ruin things. But I haven't done it too badly. But it's a Coca-Cola thing. I just read this. This scared me. Okay, I try to stay off a Diet Coke for a little while, but then I'm back in it. I actually honestly believe that I have some sort of aspartame induced memory loss and some sort of anxiety amplification, and I think my kidneys are a little achy sometimes because of aspartame. Right. So now I'm a little late on the intake here, but the FDA released a report last month that some soft drinks were found to contain benzene. Now, you know what benzene is.
Oh, yeah.
All right, benzene in up to 10 to 20 parts per billion. It doesn't sound like much, but apparently it's four times the acceptable limit found in drinking water. All right? And then I found out that Coca-Cola, now I know it's a big company, but I am a kind of a stupid consumer sometimes, and I develop brand loyalties. I was very loyal to Marlboro cigarettes for years. I used to think that American Express cared about me. Okay, and Coca-Cola was another one. And I really didn't know this, and you probably knew it, that Coca-Cola, that between 1989 and 2002, eight union leaders from Coca-Cola bottling plants in Colombia were killed after protesting the company's labor practices. Hundreds of other Coca-Cola workers who have joined or considered joining the Colombian Union have been kidnapped, tortured, and detained by paramilitaries who are hired to intimidate workers to prevent them from unionizing. In India, Coca-Cola destroys local agriculture by privatizing the country's water resources, all right? And they do this all over the world. Apparently, Coca-Cola is also one of the most discriminatory employers in the world. In the year 2000, 2,000 African-American employees in the U.S. sued the company for race-based disparities in pay and promotions. Now, I know corporations are bad, and I'm not trying to paint a nice face on this, but I didn't realize that Coca-Cola was this evil, and on top of that, they're making me retarded. And on top of that, there's benzene.
It's carburetor cleaner or something, isn't it?
It's carburetor cleaner. It's pesticides. It's a carcinogen. Apparently, it is a developmental toxicant, which means that it can stifle development in children. It's a reproductive toxicant, which means it's polluting my nards.
It's a nard toxic.
For what? For diet soda? What the hell is wrong with me?
I don't know. Go to Mr. Pibb.
Mr. Pibb doesn't exist anymore, silly man.
Mr. Pibb's a real man.
I like Mr. Pibb, but why do I have to have this yin-yang crap going on with me? Like in the morning, I get up, I start the day well, I have the oatmeal with the soy milk, I have a little coffee, not too much, well, a lot of coffee. And then for lunch, I had macro lunch with rice and beans. I went to the gym, and then bam, no more gift packages, people. I'm glad you gave them to me, but I'm so up to my neck in toffee. I went through half a salami today.
But I'll take the gift packages.
I'm giving you plenty of it.
No, I know you
didn't want the toffee.
But I'll take whole gift packages.
All right. We got the Liberal Confessional coming up in a couple minutes, and we'll talk about Isaac Hayes, and we'll talk about bird flu, and we'll talk about Feingold's inability to get a censure proposal through, and I'll talk about Bush, and man, it's over, people. The world is... No, it's not. It's going to be great. Here we go. 49 past.
Now back to a demented world-class shot putter, Mark Maron.
Hummingbirds, man. Hummingbirds.
You know, Coca-Cola also owns Minute Maid.
They own a lot of stuff, man. I went to the Coca-Cola bottling plant in Atlanta, Georgia once. It was fabulous. I wrote about it in my book, The Jerusalem Syndrome, which is unavailable at a bookstore near you. Out of print. Pulped, my friends. I think I own the last 20 copies. Some collectors sell them for like $200. I don't see none of it. You can ask me for one, maybe, and if I think, actually, I'm going to keep mine. Apparently, I was wrong. Dig this, man. Patient Zero, the guy who caused global AIDS, the flight attendant, was from Canada, according to a blogger. Not France. Quebec is in Canada, but they speak French there. Thanks. I'm not a moron, but I appreciate the input. Thank you very much, MJK. I appreciate it. But that makes it all the more weirder, my friends, all the more weird. I got a call here in L.A. about my diet soda issue. Sam, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Nothing, man.
Mark,
Yeah. I got a quick tip for you. If you want a soda, drink like Diet 7-Up, drink one of that Splenda in it, because they use, the Splenda is made from sucralose.
Yeah.
It's pretty much what it is. It's sugar oil. It has no impact on your sugar, so it has no calories whatsoever, but it has got the same taste. So like Pepsi 1 or Diet 7-Up, man, whatever's got Splenda in it, go for that one.
Thank you.
And as far as the meat is concerned, you got to look at it this way, man. If you eat the beef, you're going to get the mad cow. If you eat the chicken, you're going to get the bird flu. If you eat the fish, you're dealing with the mercury. There's no way out, man. Just enjoy yourself, and you know what? Don't spaz out too much. You got to enjoy life. You know what I mean? These guys, the corporations, they're going to kill us all one day anyway. So might as well enjoy it while we're here.
That's, I'm quitting my job. Thanks, Sam. All right, take it easy, buddy. He's right. That's exactly what I was thinking, but I was thinking that today. Now, I went on a Splenda kick. Sam is right. He didn't listen to us early back in the days in New York. I was crazy for Splenda. He was carrying yellow packets of it. I was stealing it from restaurants because you couldn't get it everywhere. I was a Splenda freak. I still have some of it at home, but I haven't been putting sugar in anything. I've just been drinking the aspartame and the Diet Coke. But I think he's onto something with that thing, man. You know, I look at the world. Today I had one of those horrible sort of overwhelming days where I realized that a lot of what we're up against is probably not ever going to be resolved. Perhaps, you know, maybe in someone else's lifetime, but not mine, but maybe my kids that I don't have, maybe their lifetimes. But it can be so overwhelming that you have to do what he said. You have to realize that this time we spend on Earth is a finite period of time if you believe in the existential reality, which is you die, that's it. If you think you're going to come back, good for you. But if you think this is it, then you ought to, you know, take care of yourself the best you can, behave properly with other people, and don't overdo it. Don't make yourself so miserable by crucifying yourself on the idea of perfect health to where you don't enjoy life.
I don't think you're crucifying yourself on the idea of perfect health by not drinking Coca-Cola and diet drinks and not eating meat, for God's sake. You know, you can have a lot of fun without consuming that crapola and drinking Minute Maid orange juice, which decimates Brazilian rainforest, by the way.
I'm not drinking Minute Maid. I drink fresh squeeze. But let me have a question for you. Are you an example of a guy who's having a great time?
Well, relative to what?
I'm just saying that you don't have to. You just tell me I don't have to do all this stuff.
I'm not making myself miserable by not eating.
How do you do it then? What is your secret to your misery?
You make a lot of fun about, you know, saying I'm a miserable person, but I'm not really miserable. You should, you know, spend a week with me. I mean, seriously.
Is that an invitation?
Locked in my apartment.
With you?
I dare you. That's a dare.
I'll do it. That'll be, and we'll do the show from there. Now, folks, we're going to do the Liberal Confessional in a few minutes, and I don't know if you know what that is, but this is where I confess my transgressions to the progressive value system. To my friend, the Cardinal. It used to be Mark Reilly, but Mark Reilly's no longer with us on this show. He's not dead, but he's asleep right now. So he's dead to the world until he gets up and does his show in New York. But I will be confessing to Cardinal Milfington, and then we will take your liberal confessions, and we'll try to give you some penance with those. And also, a lot of people on the blog today, markmaron.com, MARCMARON.com. The phone number here is 877-520-1150. So stay with us. It's the Mark Maron Show, 58 past the hour.
Live from Burbank, California, the only Spanish land grant Spain ever wanted back, it's the Mark Maron Show. And now, nice guy, but he drives like a big Jew. Mark Maron!
What does that even mean? Six past the hour, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor, lurking conservatives. I'm going to spend a week with Jim Earle so he can prove to me that he's not miserable.
Oh, man, it's going to be great. We're going to get up early in the morning. We're going to feed the squirrels.
Well, you feed squirrels in the morning?
Feed the squirrels. We've got a little bird feeder out front.
I got hummingbirds out front. A lot of hummingbirds. Yeah. I just watched my wife's cat, Meanie, sit there and try to get hummingbirds, which is wrong. And then I spray water at the cat. I'm running a zoo, Jim.
I know. I've been there.
Occasionally, I'll write a joke or two. So let's do this. We got the confessional coming up in a minute, but let's do this first. Folks, it's time to honor that one special American who most closely resembles our distinguished vice president. It's time for the Mark Maron Show, Dick of the Day. St. Paul, Minnesota brings us our first female Dick of the Day, people. Over the weekend, a 3-year-old boy was poking around on the family couch and found a 9mm handgun under one of the cushions. Well, that's not so outlandish here, Jim. I mean, sometimes I lose my keys in the cushions of my couch, occasionally some change. I'm sure if I had a gun, it might get lost in the couch. But anyways, So this three-year-old kid pulls the gun out from under the cushion, fires it, and plants a round right in his mother's knee. Ouchie. Yep. You know what, folks? She deserved it. Apparently, it was the second time that day the kid had found the gun laying around. The first time, it was fully loaded. So when Mommy saw the kid with the fully loaded gun, did she take it away? Yes. Did she put it in the special safe gun hiding place? No. She unloaded the cartridge and I guess put it back under the couch cushion. Hey, without the bullets, what's the difference between a real gun and a toy? Only she didn't think about the one in the chamber. So when Junior pulled the 9 out from under the pillow, I pictured the exchange went like this. Oh, look at Mommy's little man with his big gun. Ow! You little... You shot me! Mommy was taken to the hospital. The gun, along with several others, was removed from the house, and Junior got to go live with Daddy. So, for showing that it shouldn't be everyone's constitutional right to own a gun, and Republicans are wrong for enforcing that right in some cases, makes you, lady who got shot by your three-year-old kid in Minnesota, the Mark Maron Show Dick of the Day. How do you like them apples, my friend?
Whenever I have kids come over to my apartment, I put the gun in the cookie jar. And the cookies in there.
Play. That's Jim's favorite show. My wife still kind of wants to get a gun. I haven't heard about it lately. I'm not going to have it, not after that fight we had the other night. You just don't know, man. When you get in that white-hot rage, you don't know what's going to happen. And we're going to talk about that in the confessional. But right now, as many of you may know, thank you for all the recent blog postings about information that I need. I will get to it in a little while. But I'd like all you to know that the Left of the Dial DVD is out. Left of the Dial is an HBO documentary made about the beginning of Air America, in which I am a neurotic mess flailing around, screaming and yelling, trying to acclimate myself to a new medium. But apparently our producer, Brendan P.W. McDonald, who is here by my side with Jason the Jew from Wisconsin. Be nice to Paul, gentle giant Asplund out there on the phone. And we, of course, Jim here. So Brendan's watching it the other day. And what happens?
Well, I was, I'd watched it a bunch of times before, so I wasn't really interested in actually watching the movie again.
Don't you love the parts with me in it?
I love all that chaos that we went through in our lives.
That's crazy.
But there were audio tracks on there. One was obviously your commentary track with Randy Rhoads, and I listened to that. It was entertaining. Mm-hmm. But even more entertaining than that was the Spanish audio track, which dubbed everyone's voices. Mm-hmm. So there's a Spanish voice actor playing Mark Maron and the Spanish Randy Rhoads, and I was actually quite moved by it. It's like we moved past cultural barriers, and there's, you know, a whole different Mark.
I wish there was some guy right now translating this into Spanish.
We should get that. Well, maybe we could get this guy.
Let's hear it.
This is you in English. This is you, Mark Maron,
okay,
on the movie.
Okay.
I don't feel prepared, man. I feel like I'm blasted into the ether for nothing, you know? I don't know what the hell this is, like, proving right now.
Oh. I remember those days?
Oh, it was awful. That was like 10 minutes before this show.
But now, try to remember it in Spanish.
Okay.
Siento como si no me siento preparado. Siento como si estuviera condenado al éter por nada. No sé qué se siente. Tal vez probándolo ahora mismo lo sepa.
Where's the part where he goes, what the hell's wrong with this guy?
I think that's coming up.
Oh, really?
Oh, you mean the actor, where
the Spanish translator says that.
What I think is great about this is, you know, we're in Los Angeles, probably one of the biggest metropolitan Latin areas in America. Mm-hmm. And so why not have this every day? We should get this guy and get him to be a part of this show.
I feel I'm becoming more Latin as each day passes.
Well, let's hear more.
Okay.
So I got a stack of stuff, right. You know, a million things. I got jokes on nothing. You know, I've been up there a half hour. You know, I'm just going to, like, ramble on about this?
Wow. That's painful.
Well, all right, it was painful in Spanish, too.
He tenido muchas cosas. Tengo un millón de cosas. Tengo chistes sobre nada. ¿Sabes que he estado aquí media hora divagando sobre esto?
That's hilarious.
You know who else wound up being translated into Spanish?
Cousin Jim?
Yeah. Well, if you remember from that movie, Jim had a big scene.
And it's a great scene.
He was the man of the people, a real Che.
Yeah.
Che?
So let's...
You know, my Spanish name is Santiago.
Really?
Mine is Marcos.
What's your middle name, Jim?
Let's get on with it.
All right, well, this was from Left of the Dial. Let's take a listen.
Sí, es solo él y yo hablando. Esto es,
Spanish, Mark.
Me la pasé bien ayer, va a ser excelente también, pero con este tipo de cosas deberíamos hacer.
That's me still?
That was you still.
That's great. But I have to learn how to speak that language.
But here's Jim Earle.
Yeah.
Why aren't we fully covered?
I mean they have to.
That's thievery.
It's just,
you know, yeah, that's thievery.
So that was your big line, Jim.
Thievery.
My thievery line.
Which we quoted many times.
You were talking, thievery.
You were talking about the health care being cut off at the company, which was utter thievery. So now here's the grand debut of Spanish Jim Earle.
¿Por qué no tenemos cobertura total? Deberíamos tener cobertura total hasta el siguiente periodo de pago.
Wow.
Wow, what the hell?
Do you need to hear it again?
Yes, I do.
All right, we'll get
My brother speaks Spanish.
Really? Well, so does Spanish Jim.
¿Por qué no tenemos cobertura total? Deberíamos tener cobertura total hasta el siguiente periodo de pago.
I thought it would be more dramatic than that.
Yeah, where's thievery?
I think that the Mark voice actor is a much more dramatic voice actor than the Jim voice actor.
I was kind of loaded up,
too.
You know
what? It's really hard to get into the Jim character. You know? You got to live Jim before you can act Jim.
Well, hopefully when I spend that week with you over your house, I'll learn what that's like.
Oh, man. Well, I'm going to put the padlock on the door. No one can come in or out.
You really feed squirrels?
Yeah, I love feeding. Yeah, Heather and I feed squirrels.
Now, Heather and you came over for dinner the other night, and that was very nice. I thought we all get along, and I made a nice dinner,
and it was enjoyable.
It was
great.
We actually communicated, and we acted like people.
I guarantee you there was no rolling of eyes, you know, behind backs.
Was there any weirdness that you felt?
Weirdness?
Yeah. Well, sometimes you feel weird around me. I don't know.
No.
I tell you what, both of you guys, I'm going to try to track down the people at HBO who put this documentary together and see if we can get these translators. But if not, I'll plead, as the producer of the show, I'll plead with our listeners right now that if anyone out there can translate English to Spanish, we would like a Spanish Mark Maron on this show.
I don't know where you're going to find that in L.A.
Exactly. I could probably find someone in this building right now.
You could probably find them next door to you.
My neighbors, of course. Yeah. We could get it in Bulgarian like that.
Oh, by the way, we figured out where that was. There was a question as to where Bulgaria was.
We should know where that is.
It's bordered by Romania on the north and Greece on the south.
Greece and Romania. It's right there. My buddy Jim Loftus is making a movie in Bulgaria as we speak, a political thriller. He wrote a movie, that guy. Unbelievable, the life he's led since I knew him in college. Look, folks, this almost made the dick of the day. Isaac Hayes has quit South Park, claiming that he had principles when it came to making fun of people's religious beliefs, and he called it bigotry. Of course, this happened after the show aired its Trapped in the Closet episode, which features Scientology quite prominently. Mm-hmm. Tom Cruise, John Travolta, and Scientology were all torn new ones. Trey Parker and Matt Stone, Trey Parker and Matt Stone? This is pretty clever what they said in response to this in terms of, Trey Parker said, quote, "I never heard a peep out of Isaac in any way until we did Scientology. He wants a different standard for religions other than his own. And to me, that is where intolerance and bigotry begin, because they did so many shows, you know, mocking and satirizing Christianity." It's sort of a shame, though, because you got to figure Scientology must have put Isaac Hayes up to this. He probably felt ashamed. He was probably influenced by the church. Yet don't they tithe? I mean, where are they going to get their dough? Why would they tell him to quit on those principles if they're not going to make their kickback?
That's a good point.
And Scientology isn't a religion. It's a freakish cult that has grown beyond its I don't know.
I think most religions are freakish cults.
That's without a doubt. And I guess once it reaches past a certain number, it's no longer a cult.
Right.
And you know what? In relation to that guy, Sam, telling me not to freak out so much, the one benefit people get from having a strong sense of spirituality, whatever it may be, some sort of faith, is that they're sure that when it's over, something else begins for them. It's going to be much better. So I think it limits their panic. What do you think of that, Jim?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that does not exclude having, well, you know, not having faith in human beings.
Well, yeah, no, of course. Hey, faith in human beings is very important. It's not always easy being a liberal. We all stray from the straight and narrow from time to time, but when we need to unburden ourselves, we can always confess our liberal sins. If you want to take a turn in the liberal confessional, give us a call at 877-520-1150. But right now, it's my turn. Bless me, Cardinal Milfington, for I have sinned.
Lift up your eyes, idolator, from the dank pits of Gehelahab, and bring forth to me your shameful confession.
Okay, it's like this, Cardinal. This weekend, I was joking around with my wife.
Blasphemer! O tasa motita katata! Your threshold hath been soiled with frivolity and the consortium with females.
No, that's not my sin, Cardinal.
Oh, sorry. We'll go on.
All right. So Mish and I are having dinner, and we're at this Thai restaurant.
Sinful demon! The retribution of Saint Michael is upon me. You have partaken of pagan foodstuffs and sweetmeats.
It's not that either, is it?
No.
No. Christ's sake, get on with it, then. I'm not made of time
All
here.
Right, okay, we're eating dinner, having a discussion. It kind of goes into a little argument. Not a big argument, you know, but, you know, an argument. A disagreement, really. And well, that was all. And then the bottom line is I was joking around, and
yes.
I guess I called her the B word.
Oh, my God, you called her Buford?
No, Cardinal, I called her a bitch.
Ooh.
All right.
Big mistake, Mark. That's worse than using the F word on them, you know, like fat.
All right, look, I feel horrible, Cardinal. In my heart, I know there was a little hostility behind it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a lot of hostility at the moment. It's pretty childish of me, really. I guess I just, she just wasn't giving me enough attention. You know what I mean?
What? Sorry, I wasn't listening.
You bitch. Damn, see, I did it again.
Mark.
What?
You clearly have an anger problem. You just can't go calling your wife a bitch for the basic reason that it'll probably make her act really bitchy, okay?
Yeah.
Oh, and it's not very sensitive, too. Now, here is your penance.
All right, hit me, biatch.
Your penance will be to spend a whole weekend at a Comfort Inn hotel in Oxford, locked in a room with Rosie O'Donnell and one Slim Jim. Then you'll see what a real bitch is like.
Man, that's severe. Even for you.
That's your penance, monkey boy. Now go forth, sin no more, and take your calls.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Mort. Now, if anyone else out there wants to confess and seek absolution in our liberal confessional, you can give us a call right now at 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. 20 past.
Now back to a guy who'll do anything for the approval of strangers in a darkened room, Mark Maron.
Thank you, Jim. We are taking your confessions at 877-520-1150. I'll have to wait for that big band music to drift so we can get back into the confessional mode. Okay, here we go. First time in Los Angeles. Mike in L.A., what is your sin?
Hi, Mark.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm really ashamed about this.
Okay.
Many, many years ago,
mm-hmm.
I had a summer job working for a construction company.
Mm-hmm.
I drove a truck and delivered construction materials to various sites.
Mm.
And I didn't know who they were at the time. But looking back on it now, I realized I helped build Focus on the Family here in Los Angeles.
Oh, my God. You provided a sanctuary for the crazies. Well, there's only one penance that I can think that's rational. I think you need to Habitat for Humanity, perhaps, maybe. You need to do some charity work, go to Africa somewhere, and provide services on a construction level and build some decent folks some houses.
All right.
Can you do that?
I can do that.
And also maybe go graffiti the building you built.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can tell you.
That's what I was hoping for.
Now go forth and sin no more.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to Darren here in Los Angeles. Darren, how have you sinned? What is your sin?
Greetings, gentlemen. Before I start, I'd like to say I'm a solid liberal, but I have listened to Michael Savage, conservative talk radio, yes.
We know this type of liberal, the liberal that enjoys the hate buzz.
That's like, true.
You like the conservative hate buzz.
It makes a real man, but...
Well, I think what you need to do then is you have to become a regular caller to Michael Savage. And you have to pretend like you like him and build up a relationship with him on the air. And then, you know, right when he thinks you're his best listener, his biggest fan, you have to pull the blanket out from under him. You have to pull out the sheets from under him and tell him what a horrendous, latent homosexual freak he is and make him pay for putting that hatred out into the world.
I will go forth and do your bidding.
Thank you, sir. Darren, take care. See that? All right, here we go. We got one more here. Adam in Los Angeles, what is your sin?
Yes, I've been having fantasies of First Lady Barbara Bush.
Yeah.
And also Bijan, the designer.
Yeah.
And it involves being in a very ornate room with very large windows, and outside these windows there is tragedy and devastation and just horrors upon horrors.
Yeah.
He chocolate covered fruit and do things that I can't really speak about on the radio.
Well, first off, I think you might need to see a real priest. second off, there's...
I am a real priest.
Oh, are you really?
No.
Oh, that is beautiful.
I was a religion major. I don't know if that counts.
Well, listen, Adam, there is no real sin, I think, in fantasizing about having sex with Laura Bush, but I think in order to pay penance, you must have sex with her thoroughly, properly, efficiently, because you know she's not getting that. And I'd like in your next fantasy about Laura Bush, I want you to do it in front of George Bush so he has to watch you satisfying her.
I shall do your bidding.
Thank you. Now go forth and sin no more. Our number is 877-520-1150. It looks like we got a couple.
Mr. Marin. Mr. Milfington.
Yes, Jason. Jason the Jew from Wisconsin. Jew. Yeah. You have a sin, do you?
Could I?
Yeah. Do you want to do it now or you want to wait? Yeah, do it now. Let's do it.
Okay.
What is your sin, Jason?
My sin is that... thank you. My sin is that I watched most of the season of Flavor of Love starring Flavor Flav.
I'm not sure that's a sin because the Cardinal is into that as well, aren't you, Cardinal?
Yes, I am. I find that a very enjoyable show. As many it many lessons to impart upon people.
Well, we have to offer you some sort of penance. When was the last time you watched the McNeil Lehrer Report?
Who?
Exactly.
Your penance is to fantasize about having sex with Laura Bush.
That's it?
That's a big penance on my mind, I'll tell you that. I can't even picture that.
You can't?
No. Flavor Flav! I can't picture that.
You can't picture it at all?
No, Barbara, yeah.
Oh, all right.
Laura.
So, 877-520-1150, if you have a confession. We'll talk to you in a second. It's 29 past the hour.
You're listening to a man who, when threatened by predators, can inflate his body to within three times its normal size. Mark Maron! And now back to a man who has visibly thicker hair. Mark Maron.
It is a little thicker. I think that if I keep watching my wife's mean dirt cat look at those hummingbirds... Because I kind of half want him to grab one, but I don't want to see it happen, really. But I know it's the way of nature and the way of the wild. And I think he's too stupid and slow to get one, but you know they can. I should just move the feeder. I shouldn't do that to myself. We got a couple more confessions here at 877-520-1150. Let's do this. Gypsy in Portland. Gypsy, what is your sin, Gypsy? Hello?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
I have a terrible sin to confess.
Oh, yeah? What is it?
The mother of my godchild needed a ride to the grocery store.
Mm.
And when I picked her up, she directed me to the nearest Super Walmart.
Mm.
And would not hear any arguments against it. And what's more, by the time we were ready to leave, I had $25 worth of stuff in my cart.
So you rationalize. You said, well, you know, it wasn't my choice to be here. I'm here now. Why go to another store? That'll just be more gas and more trouble. I might as well just do it this once.
No, not even. Mm. I said, wow, that's really cheap. I should get that.
Okay, so this is a two-part penance you have to pay on this one, Gypsy.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you're going to have to go someplace where people don't have, you know, what you have. And you're going to have to give them, you know, 50 of the 100 rolls of toilet paper that you bought for 10 cents.
No, that was at Bi-Mart, but anyway.
And, of course, you are going to have to go to a locally owned grocery store or a locally owned business and buy something there and give them also another 20 rolls of paper towel out of your 100 that you bought at Walmart. So you have to do sort of a Robin Hood support the local economy thing. You have to divvy up the stuff you got a bargain deal on to people that need it and also be a patron to local businesses. How's that?
Oh, I can do that. I feel so much better.
Yeah, and I got a question to ask you about that vegetarian cake recipe you put up there.
What's that?
What? Why does there have to be flaxseed in things? There doesn't have to be flaxseed in that cake.
No, it's a vegan recipe. That's a replacement for eggs.
But what flaxseed is? I just think that there's something innate in the vegan vegetarian ideology that just likes to poop. Am I wrong?
I don't know, but that makes sense. That frightens me very much, but that makes sense.
I look at the recipe. It seems reasonable. I'm a little frightened of the tofu-based icing. I might try it. But flax seeds are everywhere. There's like sections in health food stores to flax seeds. And apparently they're not terrific for men. They're better for women than for men, apparently.
They are, yeah. They're good for lowering your cholesterol, but you have to grind them up. So that made no sense to me at all. They're just there to replace the egg.
So what, you have to grind them up and cook them up and boot them up like heroin, or you just eat them?
You just eat them. You have to grind it up and sprinkle it on your cereal like your grandfather did bran.
Oh, yeah. My wife's stepfather makes a cereal of just ground up flax seeds. And I'm like, that doesn't seem healthy.
Yeah, I actually buy one very much like that. We have a local health food thing chain called New Seasons, but I think you could probably get that at whatever they have in L.A.
All right. Well, that was it. I'm glad we had this conversation. We got this resolved.
And discussing poop is always a good thing.
As you get older, what else is there?
That's true.
Okay, Gypsy, take it easy.
Right.
Bye. I'll tell you, in terms of the bitch comment that I did make to my wife, there was some pretty active input on the blog that I think was pretty interesting, because I did feel bad about it, Jim, in all honesty, and even though I confessed it, I thought this was a testament to my wife's strength. Someone wrote, who did write this? Oh, Nora. She wrote on the blog, vigilance. Thank God and nature your wife is vigilant and smart enough to tolerate nary a word of disrespect in her personal relationships. Women get enough of that dung everywhere else, including the systematic destruction of privacy and reproductive rights. And they don't need even one joke when they're at home with their families. There has to be some place that is safe to be a whole, cherished, celebrated, valued, appreciated person. I'm getting choked up here. Get her flowers, Mark. Understand women are different because society treats the female gender differently. Man, I feel horrendous.
I can't think of a better reason to joke about it.
Exactly. Here, I'm not going to get her chocolate, though. I got kind of obsessed with this list. I just came upon it because it was referred to in an article from truthout.org. I keep getting the truth out things. This is the 14 worst corporate evildoers of 2005. And I didn't know this stuff. My wife had alluded to it at some point, but I didn't realize that Nestle chocolate are literally, they are Satan's elves, man. I mean, Nestle, apparently illegal and forced child labor is rampant in the chocolate industry because more than 40% of the world's cocoa supply comes from the Ivory Coast, a country that the U.S. State Department estimates had approximately 109,000 child laborers working in hazardous conditions on cocoa farms. In 2001, Save the Children Canada reported that 15,000 children between 9 and 12 years old, many from impoverished Mali, have been tricked or sold into slavery on the West African cocoa farms, many for just $30 each. Everything is loaded, man. That's an evil Nestle's chocolate bar you got there. So, that $100,000 bar, it cost a lot. It cost people, literally, I have no joke.
So would you be happy to pay, like, twice as much for a Nestle bar to stop the child labor? I mean, you know, if the reason they have child labor in those countries is because it's very, very cheap for Nestle. I mean, would you be prepared, happy to pay
that much for it?
I'll
be honest with you. I don't need any Nestle's chocolate. You know, I usually eat the high-end chocolate, but I don't think that necessarily solves the problem. The cocoa industry, period, sounds like it's pretty tainted with this nastiness. Let me get into Feingold before we go, because I'd like to. I feel bad for Russ Feingold. I feel disappointed with the Democratic leadership for a change. As I talked about yesterday, Senator Russ Feingold of Wisconsin, the only Democratic senator with the courageous sense of duty to American democracy that is necessary to be a decent politician, was treated like some kind of well-intentioned pariah yesterday. I mean, the Democratic politicians, the senators, they literally responded to his proposal of censure of the president like people walking by a homeless guy and like shrugging, you know, like, no, sorry, even though they got a pocket full of money. Not one Democrat, Jim, agreed to sign on to this censure proposal, so it's probably not going to happen. And then Dick Cheney, not coincidentally, shows up in Wisconsin, Feingold's home state, attacking Feingold, playing on the fear and also that strength. What is it with some Americans who, despite who the president is, doesn't even matter. They have this weird ingrained sense of loyalty to the president, and I just can't understand it. My father's wife's like that. It doesn't matter who the president is. It's just in their head that they have to respect the president. So in a direct attack on Feingold, Cheney said, quote, some Americans have decided that the president is the enemy, end quote. Now, bottom line, people, the president did violate the Constitution. He did violate the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. So that does make him a criminal. And yes, an enemy to our system of government. At any juncture in history, you said this to me, Jim, at any other juncture in history, this guy would have been impeached. Am I right?
Absolutely.
The neocon death cult is absolutely an enemy of democracy. The terrorists are enemies of democracy, but they both seek the same ends. One under the banner of Islam, the other under the banner of some sort of corporate-ruled plutocracy that mobilizes the worst elements of jingoism, fear, religious fanaticism to guarantee its success of global domination at the cost of what's left of the American democratic system. That is, I'm starting to realize this more and more in more specific terms in a language that I'm making up in my own head and understanding it for myself. I mean, all Feingold wanted to do, all he wanted to do was show that the Congress can hold the president accountable if he breaks the law. I mean, a censure doesn't even do anything. It just is entered into the record that the president has been publicly reprimanded by the Congress. I mean, it seems to me the least that all the Democratic senators could do. Why would they even question signing on to this? Not one of them. Now, even if they're sitting there waiting for these guys to eat their own or to fall in on themselves, it wouldn't have hurt. I mean, most of America hates this guy. His approval ratings are around 34%. I mean, holding the president accountable when he is beyond the law is supposed to be how this system works. Debate about whether he was acting above the law is supposed to be how democracy works. In an effective democracy, this would be welcomed and it would be required. It would be expected. And the bottom line is the Republicans trying to align debate and this proposal of censure with aiding the terrorists seem to be ashamed of our system of government and would rather be operating into dictatorship. I just think that trying to hold the president accountable for breaking the law is exactly the message we should be putting out into the world, because it is an example of how a free country is supposed to operate. And it's despicable that the Democrats didn't even sign on to this thing.
I think if you want the Democrats to hold the president accountable for breaking the law, they won't do that, because they have to be held accountable for what they've done and what they have always done, which is being Republican light. And they're corporate whores. And they will not hold the president accountable.
Even if that's true, Jim, it would seem to me that even if that's true, it's good politics to do it now. Even if they're all corporate whores, it seems like the tide is turning. That wouldn't be reason enough for me. This to me means they're spineless corporate whores. That has nothing to do with being a corporate whore in light of the fact that, like, the approval rating's down. It would be it would show that the party has at least some alignment, some sort of momentum, but they're just afraid to do anything. Period. It's mind blowing.
They take their lead from the American public, who were afraid to vote for a real candidate, Ralph Nader. But I'm sorry.
Mark.
What?
Hey, Mark.
Who's that? Oh no, is this my own NSA guy again?
Yeah, Mark, it's me. Yeah, look, man. There's a guy trying to get into your house, and your wife is in there all by herself.
Wait, whoa, 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 what? What guy? Where are you right now?
There's a guy.
Yeah?
And he just went around back with some big metal pipes. Big guy with a beard.
At my house? Well, you know what? That's our friend Larry. He said he's going to come by, and he's going to fix my fence and when he got home from work. So the big question is, what are you doing in my house?
The guy's name is Larry?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, your wife's waving to him from the window now. Okay, cool. You know, I just thought I'd make sure. I just paying you back for the solid you did for me.
Okay, great.
Yeah, don't mention it, man. Oh, yeah, one more thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, your wife's using your computer.
So what?
Well, you know, you really should delete those cookies when you get home. She's not going to be too happy she sees those sites you've been on. You know what I mean? Grannies and trannies, it's one thing if I see
All right, but... that's it. I'm done.
You
I'm know, done.
You, Mark, you should just quit that stuff cold turkey. You know, it's nasty
stuff,
man.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate my moral boundaries being defined by a spy.
Okay,
thanks.
No problem, man. Yeah. Hey, can't wait for your phone call with the gastroenterologist tomorrow.
I don't know about that guy. It makes me feel safe on one level. On another level, I think I got a creepy new friend. And look, I am paranoid, man. I lost my pass. I lost this thing, the thing that gets me in the parking lot, the thing that gets me into the house, into the door here at Clear Channel. Literally, I went into a panic because of two things. I was afraid that somebody had a system where they take these out of the car and they run it through a machine that they have at home, which would give them all of my information, my social security number, which is the big scary thing to lose. And then I was afraid to ask Clear Channel for another one because I thought I would be put on some sort of list or I'd have to pay for it. Have you ever lost one of these?
I'll tell you what happens.
What happens if I lose this Clear Channel pass?
$35 fee.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay. That ain't too bad. So I guess we're going to do the shorter news in a minute. We're going to have Jim. Are you? Do you have a song prepared?
Yeah, I got a song. Yeah.
That's terrific.
If you hear me now, you're probably listening to The Mark Maron Show. Ooh. The Mark Maron Show. A show like ours that rarely starts on time. 'Cause we're preempted by the game. When tomorrow comes, we'll both regret moving to L.A.
Oh. Nice.
Ooh. Ooh, the Mark Maron Show. Oh, Jesus. That's it.
Depressed because you haven't heard anything funny yet? Well, me too. Well, all that's about to change, maybe, because Mark Maron's Short Order News is coming up next.
And now he earned a college degree in as little as 18 months. Mark Maron.
Siento como si no me siento preparado. Siento como si estuviera condenado al éter por nada. No sé qué se siente. Tal vez probándolo ahora mismo lo sepa.
Yeah, that's me being translated into Spanish. I'd really love the idea of having somebody do that every night, or at least one night a week. I'd like that to happen. I just drank another Diet Coke. It's ridiculous. I have to punish myself for some reason. I just can't let it go, Jim. You know what? Let me explain to you people how this is working with the game thing, because I think it's unclear. We got people on the blog. They're having a good time. That's at markmaron.com, markmaron.com. We got new listeners here in L.A. We've got people listening around the country, though not on any syndication yet, because we're not going out over the satellite. We're hoping to be doing that by the beginning of April. So what's happening now is if we are preempted by a game, if a game runs past, 10 o'clock, which is our starting time, we will start the show after the game, but we will only go till midnight. Our allotted time of broadcast here in L.A. was 10 to 12. Hopefully, come, say April, maybe sooner, we will be starting the broadcast no matter what at 10 o'clock, and it will run for 2 hours, which means every night consistently you will get a two-hour show, and in some of the West Coast markets that pick it up, they will get the whole show, and it will be preempted by the Clippers here in L.A., but it will not be begun after the Clippers game. Now, tomorrow we have a situation where we have a Clippers game, but it seems like it's going to end early. Which means, again, we will go till 12. So now, tomorrow, we probably will have a two-hour-plus show, which means we have a little more time on the show, which means I might call some friends and have them come in. I'm going to try and call Sarah Silverman. I'm going to try and call Zach Galifianakis. I'll start with those two and see if they'll come in and hang out and be funny. That'd be fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
wouldn't
it?
Wouldn't it be nice to see?
I haven't seen Sarah Silverman in 2 years.
She should go out with a tell. That's what made a tell like that. Is her breaking his heart.
Really?
I'm serious.
Made him like that?
Yep. A lot happened in the world today, and we want to make sure you're caught up on current events before you go to bed. So here's tonight's edition of Mark Maron's Short Order News. A leaked memo shows that British Prime Minister Tony Blair was warned in 2003 that the U.S. handling of Iraq was a disaster. The memo described the situation in Iraq as, quote, an unbelievable mess, quote, adding, quote, we're talking Camilla Parker Bowles in the morning mess here, people. End quote. The Pentagon is asking Congress for hundreds of billions of dollars to test weapons in space. Oh, no, you don't. You're not falling for the old, you can't see the multi-billion dollar laser because it's already in space trick. Uh-uh. Nice try, fellas. We're not falling for that. 87-year-old Mike Wallace announced this week that he will no longer be a regular on 60 Minutes. Wallace said, quote, I want to make room for someone younger, like Piltdown Man, end quote. He added, quote, I knew it was time to quit when 60 Minutes became how long it takes me to pee, end quote. That's Mark Maron's short order news for tonight. So tomorrow, as I said, maybe a surprise guest of some kind. And then we, of course, have live from the South by Southwest Film Festival in Austin, Texas. We're going to talk to the filmmakers behind The Big Buy, How Tom DeLay Stole Congress. Plus, we're going to have Mort Mortensen with the Weekly Remembrance. You can always go to markmaron.com to check out our players page for info on all our regular contributors. Thank you, Brendan McDonald. Thank you, Jason the Jew from Wisconsin, Jim Merle, Paul Asplund, the gentle giant out there on the phones. We'll see you tomorrow, sheeple. Sleep well.